Joining me now is Grant McKenzie. He's a professor of geography at McGill University and also studies the impact of electric scooters on how people move around in different cities. Grant McKenzie, good morning.
Good morning.
So what do you think of Montreal's approach? How does it sound?
It sounds actually pretty good. I think one of the things that's been interesting to look at this process is to see that the city of Montreal has actually taken some efforts to look at cities that have already implemented these scooters. In the United States, you know, you have Los Angeles, San Francisco, Washington, D.C. have had these for a year or two now. And so Montreal has had this opportunity to look at how these scooters have been used, some of the pitfalls, some of the benefits of these scooters, and then really see what works and what doesn't. Montreal, in many ways, fits the mold of a couple of these other cities, but it has its own unique people, unique behavior, unique sort of transportation, climate issues. And so we're starting to see that they've taken a lot of that in consideration moving forward and developing new programs.
How well do you think, they have gotten a bad rap in some cities for cluttering sidewalks, as we mentioned, concerns about accidents as well. Do you think that the measures that Montreal is putting in place are going to guard against that?
Yes, to a certain degree. I think there's only so much you can do in some cases to a lot of people. Like if you think about it, the last time a lot of people were on a scooter was as a child, right? And now they're getting on electric scooters. And so this is going to be a learning curve for any city, for any citizens, any city officials as they bring these into a city. I think the things they can do, like having helmet laws, regulations, putting limits on how fast they can go, really getting it out there where you can ride these, where you can park these, is essential. And Montreal is, so far from what I've seen, really spent a lot of time thinking about what these should be and starting to get out there and sort of inform people what can happen. I think rolling out the jump bikes the way they did was a good first step. There were some issues with that, but there was a sort of a learning sort of feedback loop that happened, and hopefully we'll see that in the future.
You studied the situation, I believe, in D.C. In particular. What did you see in terms of how these scooters were being used and who was using them?
Well, one of the interesting things was quite unique, or an interesting study from my perspective, which actually maps quite well to Montreal, was Washington, D.C. has a very robust bike share system, which actually was modeled off of the Bixi system in Montreal. So you have a lot of users using these systems to get to and from work. And what we were quite interested was seeing is the influx of these scooters, does that cannibalize or replace some of the bike share system, the existing city-funded, taxpayer-funded bike share program? And what's interesting is we didn't see that same commuting behavior. So the docked bike share systems have a typical sort of 9 a.m. peak, 5 p.m. peak. People take them to and from work. They're very reliable. People rely on these systems to get to and from work. The same thing is true for the Bixi system. With the scooters, however, you didn't see that behavior. You saw the sort of peak in the middle of the afternoon. Pretty much every day of the week, Saturday, Sundays were the highest peaks, indicating that they were less commuting focused and more sort of leisure, recreationally focused.
So who was using them then? Was it more tourists or?
Yeah, it's hard to really tease that out. We don't have access to that level of data as researchers. I know the companies do and would like to see some of that data come out eventually. But it really, I think from the data that we do have and where people are using them, it does indicate it's sort of more tourists, people on the weekends, maybe people might be going to pick up groceries in the afternoon, something like that, but not somebody that's using it to get to and from work reliably.
Though carrying a lot of groceries on it would be a little bit difficult on that. What does that say about this mantra of these companies that this is a solution for that, say, last mile commuting problem? The idea that, you know, you public transit gets you so far, but these things will help with that on the last kilometers. Does that ring true?
Yes and no. I mean, right now, the evidence doesn't support that. The idea that this is a last-mile solution to metro to home and so forth to reduce some of the traffic volume, it's a good sales line to use. I don't know if we might see that change in the future, is my point. It is still very early to actually understand how people are going to use this. A lot of people still see the novelty of this and use these systems in a sort of fun way to get around the city, and they're not relying on them to get to and from places regularly with some sort of degree of robustness. But that might change over the coming years. In Washington, D.C., it's been about a year now, and we're slowly starting to see some behavior of people sort of having a regular pattern of the usage. I think in Montreal that might change as well, but so far the evidence hasn't supported this idea of a last-mile solution.
Is the price point an issue, too? I think Lime is $1 to unlock, 30 cents a minute, a Jump, 40 cents a minute, a Bixi is $2.95 for 30 minutes, so there's definitely a price differential there.
Correct, yeah. And you also have the the solutions where people are paying monthly fees, or they have some sort of yearly annual fee that they're paying to do this, and they're already kind of bought into the system. A number of the Lime and Jump in other cities have started these kind of systems where you pay into it over the time and you get sort of general use, but we'll see what that looks like here.
I guess ultimately, I mean, Montreal, it feels like the transport ecosystem has changed quite a bit in the past few years with Car2Go, with Communauto, with Bixi, sure. with all of these things. Is there room in Montreal for these e-scooters and electric bikes on top of that, do you think?
In my opinion, yes. I think, it's going to be interesting to see how that actually works in the city. There's always a learning curve with any of these kind of things. This is going to take up street space that was already dedicated to something else, right? There's going to be people riding these in the bike lanes. How are cyclists going to react? How are our cars going to react? Or our drivers going to react to these things? But Montreal is such a city where it's been able to adopt new technology, new transportation models. It's sort of been a leader in Canada for a lot of these technologically focused transportation model. So I think there is space to actually push into this, see where it goes. And Montreal's pilot project, where they're not just jumping in with several thousand, they're taking a small steps to get there, is a good first step. And I'm really excited to see where this goes.
Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts on this.
Thank you.
That is Grant McKenzie, professor of geography at McGill University, studies the impact of electric scooters on how people and how they move people around different cities.